Very big thanks, Dan. Extremely big thanks for all that you do to help mobilize us in Care Together. I want to invite you right now to Psalm 34. Psalm 34 is our launching pad this morning in God's Word. I invite you there. Psalm 34. You know, certain foods I love, I deem really good, delectable, scrumptious. Some foods I love, let me name a few for you, and if these qualify as foods you love, feel free to lift your hand. If you're entering in live streaming, feel free to give a thumbs up, or feel free to in the chat line there, tell which version of this you like best. I love, love, love pasta. Any other pasta lovers? I'm a basic kind of pasta guy. I like lasagna, spaghetti, rigatoni, fettuccine. I mean, you know, I can keep it going, but I love pasta. I really love pizza. How many of you love pizza? Love pizza? Right? I have never met a pizza I didn't like. Never have. I mean, I absolutely love pizza. And as many of you know, I absolutely love coffee. I love coffee in all incarnations, especially love a cafe mocha. Just love coffee. And you know, it's interesting when we think about foods we love, or a certain cup of joe, or a glass of something that we especially love. What are we saying when we say we love something? We're saying it's really good, and I highly value that. I highly value that. Here at Manor Church, we highly and deeply value loving God. We highly and deeply value loving God. This makes who we are and what we do so much more than just another great community organization or social action group. Now, community organizations and social action groups are indeed phenomenal, absolutely. We are all about community and action, but our impetus as Manor Church, our aim, our heart motivations run so much deeper and carry such good, God-loving significance. It's the kind of drive that overflows then to impact our community action, all we do every day, not just here on Sundays, but the rhythm of our lives out there in community and the actions we take. Last week, we kicked off this series by exploring good and not good in the opening chapters of Genesis plus Titus 2. Last week, Genesis plus Titus 2. And if you missed it, I encourage you, they're always available online. You can go and you can view foundational, what we talked about last week. God's perspective on what's good and what's not good. And we talked about crafting our start doing lists and also our stop doing, take out the trash list. Each of those, the stop doing list and the start doing list, each of those flow from grace. Both of those are gracious. Both of those flow out of the motivation of God's good, loving grace. And I tossed you the challenge of diving into Matthew 5, Matthew chapter 5, plus Matthew 22, 34 to 40. And I invited you to tap into the exploration guide. And if you didn't get one last week, you can grab one. If you're here in person, you can grab one as you go out today. There are some fresh stacks available out there. And there's also a digital guide available. So if you're entering in and live streaming today, there's a digital link there on our website. You can grab one right there. Encourage you. Go for that. I heard from a number of you this week who were going for it and diving in. It's so good. All part of your own growth journey here at the start of the new year. So good. Acts 10 and verse 38 expresses Jesus this way. I love this. Jesus of Nazareth went around doing good. Jesus of Nazareth went around doing good. What a life summation. And so we express our vision and values here at Manor like this. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We are people in Christ. We are people in Christ. It's all about Jesus. And so we are a church passionate about Jesus' life, love, and work flowing through our lives, love, and work. We are a church passionate about Jesus' life, love, and work flowing through our lives, love, and work. And in the daily rhythms of our lives, this business of following Jesus is far more than just a Sunday morning thing. It's far more even than a few minutes of devotional time in the morning. It's far, far more. It has such deeper significance than that. It has such more pervasive influence than that when we're really willing to say, it's all about Jesus. We then get passionate about his life and love and work flowing through our lives, love and work. And so at Manor Church, we value. We say, this is good. This is so good. We highly value loving God, loving others, sharing his good news and doing good. Loving God, loving others, sharing, proclaiming the truth of his good news, his good grace. We proclaim it, we share it, and doing good. Doing good. It's all about Jesus. Psalm 34 and verse 4. We're going to start there. Psalm 34 and verse 4. It's powerful. And as I read these verses, starting in verse 4, Psalm 34, verse 4, as I read these verses, I want to encourage you to watch for every time you hear or you see the word good. The psalmist says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. In a couple moments, we're going to see incredible correlation between what the psalmist says right here and what Jesus says about a truly blessed and good life. Psalm 34 and verse 8 invites us to the table. Invites us to the table. Will you read it aloud with me? Let's read it together. Let's read it out loud. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see. Notice this, the first side of the verse. What does it look like to actually taste and see that the Lord is good? We taste his gracious creativity in down-to-earth ways. We taste his gracious creativity in down-to-earth ways, literally daily graces. Don't miss the daily graces right now. Things right now, honestly, gang, it can seem really dark or at best foggy at points, right? So much confusion, so much darkness, so much that seems like lies and deception, so much evil, so much wickedness, so many points that it feels like darkness is winning, and it's not. It's not. The reality is God's good graces, well, he's still good. This is my Father's world. It's still my Father's world. And he works wonders. He worked them long ago. He still works wonders in his world. The big deal is, will we dare to come to the table and pull up a chair and sit down and taste of it? Will you watch for the daily graces, even starting this week with the eyes of people around you? Will you dare to lock on and listen to people deeper and better and hear their story? Will you dare this week to truly enjoy that bite of food or that glass of something or that cup of joe? Will you dare to slow down enough to have your eyes wide open and your ears wide open for truth and rejoice in how good, good, good he truly is? Daily graces. I'm afraid right now, I'm saying this right back to myself, seriously. I'm afraid right now, if we're not careful, we're missing the daily sweetness, the daily goodness, the graces. We're missing it, that this still is our Father's world, and he still does wonders. Let's watch for them. Let's taste and see that he is good, even when everything else seems like it's not. And there are plenty of moments like that right now. Even when it seems like it's not, that's not the whole story. He is good. Taste and see that he is good, the daily graces. We taste his good gift of salvation, that hope, that forgiveness of sins that all of us need, that pervasive, deep work of grace poured out for us on the cross through Jesus' love poured out there for us. And we tap into that when by grace, through faith, we realize we need it. When we realize we need that forgiveness, when we realize, if we're honest, and it's why you're here this morning, and it's why you're online and live streaming. Why? Because you realize how much you need him. You realize how much you need him. Notice the context here in Psalm 34. Oh yeah, we love it. He says, taste and see the Lord is good. But look at what's all around it. He's hard-pressed. He's stressed. He's hard-pressed, and he's stressed, and he realizes how tough things are, and he feels beaten down, and he feels exhausted, all of the distress around him. And he says he's poor. Poor and needy. What? He needs a refuge. You need a refuge. It's why you're here. It's why you're live streaming today. You need a refuge. What? The greatest refuge of all is our Savior, Jesus. The one who brings his forgiveness of our sins. The one who brings the sweetness of his grace into your life. So watch, not only for the daily graces, but those deeper graces of forgiveness. And the new character he creates through his holy word, through the sacred scriptures. So good, so good. The new creation that he sparks within us, that change, that transformation that he loves to start in the center of our lives by his Spirit and sparks it and starts it anew. He does that by his Spirit, forms newness of life, the very image of the invisible God, Jesus himself, his own image being remade in us. Taste and see, the Lord is good. If you want to taste God's goodness in 21, to see him more clearly and love him more dearly, you'll need to pull up a chair. You'll need to pull up a chair if you're going to taste and see. If you're going to come to the table, pull up a chair. Make the time to slow down. To live more contemplative. Contemplating more. To be willing to focus and savor his holy word, savor time in prayer, savor time in fellowship with others, savor time like that. But pull up a chair, come to the table. What are you doing that's really deliberate and really strategic in order to savor the goodness of God even more? You know, if we're not careful, what do we do? We gulp our food. Say we're hungry, and what? You barely tasted that pasta. You barely tasted that meat. You barely tasted that drink. You guzzled it, or you chowed on it too quickly. You didn't savor it. And if we're going to know more of the goodness of God, we've got to be willing to pull up a seat and savor the time. And it's much more, friends, than this time together. This is great to prioritize time in worship like this, gathering in person or joining in online with live streaming. It's great to prioritize like that. Do that this year. But what about the regular rhythms of your life all week long? Are you carving out time to pull up a chair and savor? How about in the rhythms of your work day, when everything seems crazy and maddening? Do you slow down and back up and pull back and go, oh, wait a minute, whoa, I'm going to choose to see his goodness and tap into him as my refuge. I will choose right here in all the craziness of household tasks and convos with friends and crazy family members and even your play and your recreation. Will you choose in those places to see the goodness of God, to watch for God's goodness, to recognize his presence and love him more right there? Love him more right there. Notice the second side of the verse. Second side of the verse shows us the outcome. You see it? Taste and see the Lord is good. Look at the outcome. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Blessed. We saw it last week in Genesis 1. Plus, if you spent time there this week, which I hope you did, the opening verses from Jesus in Matthew 5. Opening words from Jesus in Matthew 5. This is a rich, rich, holistic, incredible concept, this business of being blessed, truly being blessed. It's a rich, holistic idea that includes flourishing in God's favor, God's immense favor, his shalom. It's deeply successful peace with creation and with one another. And most importantly, with your Creator, with all of creation, and that includes your daily work and all of your interaction, that peace, that shalom, that success, that flourishing, and God longs for you to have that right there as you encounter his presence in the highs and lows, in the tough spots, in the easy spots. He wants you to know shalom right there. And with one another, we see it. Some of you, you saw it this week. Some of you shouted at me about it. You're like, whoa, Jesus is serious about this thing of peace and how we get along with those around us and even people way out there that don't agree with us or we don't agree with them. And those people that might get labeled our enemies, Jesus is really serious about that. That shalom, that peace with one another. And so vital, that peace with God, our Creator, with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that peace that we all need, that foundational need for shalom, that peace with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, through what Jesus did on the cross for us in making peace through his blood on the cross. Great aim. Would you dare to take the aim? Each day, to live in shalom in all three areas. What if you emblazoned it in your brain right now? I'm gonna make goals each day to live in peace with creation, with all that's around me, with what I touch, with what I see, with what I taste, with what I work at, and I'm gonna make it a big goal to live in shalom, flourishing, blessing with one another, with others around me and beyond, and I'm gonna live in shalom, tuned in with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's especially informative then when we consider Jesus' explanation of the blessed life. Jesus' explanation of the blessed life, Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Talk about taste and see that the Lord is good. He says that you'll be filled up. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Again, these echoes from Psalm 34. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus' description of the blessed life. Notice the surprising, upside down, view of blessing and living in his kingdom. Poor in spirit, humble, hungry and thirsty, meek, persecuted, peacemakers. These are the kingdom people. These are Jesus' people who take refuge in the Lord. Aim for these traits in 21. Talk about some resolutions. Talk about some aims, some commitment. Aim for these. Aim for these traits. Following Jesus' heart. Following Jesus' example. And when you do, what's he say? You're blessed. Truly blessed. Truly good life. A neat way to work with these is to turn them into personal questions. I've been trying to do that in my own life in recent days. Turn them into some personal questions. So just a couple of them, for example. How hungry and thirsty am I for righteousness? Or some translations say justice. What? How hungry and thirsty am I for what's right? What's right with God in my own life and what's right with other people? What's just between me and God and what's just with other people? How hungry and thirsty am I for that? And then what am I willing to do about it? What will you do about it today? What will I do about that hunger and thirst this week? Or try this one. How good am I at actually making peace with others? You know, peace is a fine thing, right? Very fine thing when somebody else needs to pursue it. It's a very fine thing when it's up to somebody else's country, when it's up to somebody else's workplace, when it's up to somebody else's neighborhood. Oh, this is a very admirable thing. But what about for you? What about in your own workplace this week? What about for you in social media this week? What about for you? How will you make peace? What will that look like? What will that sound like? See, the aim is don't leave this blessing business up there on the mountain with Jesus or way back there in Psalm 34. Don't leave it there. Bring it home in everyday life. And look at what follows. I want to challenge you this week. Read Matthew 5 through 7. Go ahead, dive deeper in there several times this week and look at what follows and flows from such blessed life. You see, Jesus gives this roadmap in these 12 verses, and then what flows after that shows what that looks like. In relationship after relationship, in situation after situation, in everyday life, in the rhythms of life, in the workaday world, Jesus shows, what's this look like? To live out the kingdom, to live out these values, to live out what matters most, what's truly good, what's truly blessed. Jesus shows it. So I invite you to read there this week and soak it up and then make it doable. Look at just two or three, maybe three ways you need to lean into good, blessed living. Some of you already did that. I heard from you this week. It was so really cool to hear from you. Blessed living based on Jesus' wisdom right here. Based on Jesus' wisdom. It's all about Jesus. Truly is. It's all about Jesus. We are a church passionate about Jesus' life, love, and work, flowing through our lives, love and work. And so here at Manor, we value loving God and loving others and sharing his good news and doing good. And if we're going to get after this loving God business, we've got to be willing to pull a chair up to the table and contemplate and savor and taste the daily graces and the deeper graces and the bigger, wider, higher graces and all of that. And we've got to be willing to get really specific about how that will impact our everyday relationships and workplaces, and the daily rhythms of our lives. It's all about Jesus. In fact, in Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, Matthew 22, a guy asked Jesus one day, take a look there, Matthew 22, verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. The Sadducees and Pharisees were the two biggie religio-political groups of the day. And there had been this encounter where what Jesus answered back to the Sadducees had actually silenced them, which was amazing because they were really good at running their mouths. And so the Pharisees got together. They thought, well, let's see what we can do with Jesus. One of them, verse 35, an expert in the law tested him with this question, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? In verse 37, Jesus replied, look at his response, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. What a summation. What a way of wrapping up what's most important. What Jesus was really doing was reaching back and spotlighting Deuteronomy 6:5, Deuteronomy 6:5, and Leviticus 19:18. A couple of spots that were buried back there in the Torah and easily forgotten in the fogginess of all of God's lines and principles and teachings. And Jesus just draws those out and sums them up and says, love God, love others. Love God and love others. James Bryan Smith says this in his really cool book, The Good and Beautiful God. James Bryan Smith says, to love is, in the words of Dallas Willard, to will the good of another. It's not primarily an emotion. Mark that down. Is there emotion involved in loving God? Absolutely, but it's not primarily that. Love is a desire for the well-being of another, so much so that personal sacrifice would not stand in its way. God's love is a lot more like a parent's love toward a child than the love between infatuated teens. Anybody remember teen infatuation? Don't raise your hands if you're a teen in the room going through it. I recall being a middle schooler. Went to a small school, so we lived in Michigan, went to the small school where middle school and high school did a bunch of stuff together. And at lunch, I would hang out with this group of friends, and I remember that part of our lunch group involved a gal who was up there as a high schooler already, and she chose one day to flirt with me. And boy, did I get infatuated, because this high school girl flirted with me. Oh, and I was, you know, this scrawny little eighth grader, and did I mention it was a small school? She was desperate for people around her, you know, and she flirted with me, and I did my best as an eighth grader to flirt back, although it was probably horrible flirting, and then I was just, I was infatuated with her until the day we were sitting there at lunch, and my mom had sent me with a sandwich that had this sauce on it with an egg in the middle, and I'm in the middle of a conversation, and I bit down into it, and that squirted out and landed all over her. The infatuation both ways ended. It was done. Now what? That seems pretty goofy. That seems pretty crazy. And some of you are still trying to wrap your minds around your pastor one day being infatuated like that. But it's true. I mean, infatuation, it's a feeble form of love. Oh, it's a starter form of love, but it's a feeble form of love. It's not the kind of agape love that's God's style love. In fact, God's style love is a lot more parent style love. That's why it's triune God. It's why we talk about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the love that flows right there toward us. It's a lot more like the love I realize now my mom and dad expressed over and over again to my sister and I. I look back on it now, and I realize. Now, I realize, as a parent myself, I realize what they sacrificed. Oh, my word. The hard work and the money they gave up and all kinds of things so we could have clothes on our back and food on the table and at times that, so our education could keep going and the list goes on and on. Even still today, my loving mom sacrificed in so many ways. It's incredible parent love. And God, our Father's love for us, it's that kind of love. It's that self-sacrificing love, so much so the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 4, so much so that we see love through the Son, Jesus. Love is on display. How do we know love? Love is on display. The love of God the Father through his Son, Jesus. It's the greatest example. Greatest example for us. Love on display. This parental love. Are you living in light of that love, and are you loving him back? It's incredible to see. It's incredible to realize. Did you catch it? Did you catch what Jesus said about love the Lord your God? Did you catch it? It's an all-in kind of love. That's how love grows. That's how love grows. It's an all-in love. All in. It's not a little bit. It's not a dabble your toe in the water at the pool. No. You might do that initially, but this is a dive in kind of love. It's not a sample, let's see if you like it kind of love. Oh, it might kind of start there, but this is not smorgasbord. This is not go to Golden Corral and wander around and pick out what I want. No, with Jesus' love is all in. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, all you've got, all you are. It's all in kind of love. God's love grows in incredible ways. I invite you, challenge you this week to also read in 1 John 4:7-19. Because right there, the disciple whom Jesus loved says that God is love. And we know we grow in our confidence and our assurance that we are his. Why? Because we show that love. We love him back and we love others. And this becomes so tangible. We're going to talk more next week about what getting love out really looks like. That love for neighbor, what it really looks like. Gabby Bonifant leads us as director of worship. And she does an incredible job. She works in tandem with Dan Sigmund, our pastor of worship arts. And she's coming. I want to chat with her for a couple minutes. I told you last week we're going to... Will you welcome? Let's welcome Gabby. Thank her for her great efforts all the time. We asked our staff a number of weeks ago to start thinking and dreaming, their own thinking and dreaming about what this year can potentially mean for us as a congregation. And so you're going to get to hear from our different staff members. But I thought it'd be fun if we kick off with hearing Gabby talk to us a little bit about the goodness of God and how that integrates with what she's dreaming of. First, would you share with us just something good that's happened for you lately?
Well, for Christmas and New Year's, I got to spend time with my family. We went down to Florida, the Panhandle region, and got this... rented out this big house that was walking distance from the beach and just got to spend time together and rest.
So you chose to make all of us jealous that you were in a really good warm place, right?
Yeah, it was pretty warm.
It sounds pretty sweet.
It was a lot warmer than here.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it sounds pretty sweet. It really does. That's good. We're glad you got to go there. Okay. We are, seriously. That's really good. Really, really cool. So when you think for us as a congregation and you enter in your loving worship and labors toward helping all of us worship God and love God more. What are you dreaming about for the coming year?
I'm dreaming that we as individuals and as a congregation would become more holistic in our approach to worship, meaning that we would worship God with our whole beings. We would engage with our minds, our souls, our bodies.
So that all-in.
Yeah, that all-in mentality. Whenever we see people worshiping God in Scripture, they're not just casually observing. We see them actively participating. We see them kneeling and shouting and singing and clapping. We see an outward expression of what's going on in their hearts. So, my hope and prayer for this year is that we, which includes myself, would learn more about what it means to worship God with our whole beings and would have the courage to try that out.
Because some of that sounds challenging and stretching and uncomfortable. How would we get after that? Like, would you share a little more about like specifically what might be an aim, a goal, a couple aims and goals?
So the first goal, which has to do with engaging our bodies in worship, would be that as we continue gathering this year, I'm going to encourage you all and maybe even push you all a little bit to try things that are out of your comfort zones. An example would be something that we've already been doing, but we'll continue to do, is clapping, which for many of us here, that's easy, that's simple, but that's not the case for everyone, and
no,
that's okay.
I'm rhythmically challenged, so yeah.
But yeah, we want to encourage everyone to try new things that may seem initially uncomfortable, but just to promote further freedom in this space, basically. The other goal, which really ties into the hope of engaging our minds and our souls, is that we're going to be introducing and teaching at least 8 new songs this year, which may sound like a lot, but we can do it. I believe in us. And these new songs hopefully will help us engage with God, his story, and his presence. And whenever Dan and I pick songs, we are carefully thinking through the lyrics. We're praying over them. We're making sure that it's what God wants us to sing. Because ultimately, what we sing impacts our theology. It affects the way we view God, we view each other, we view ourselves. So it's important that we sing stuff that edifies us and helps really us good. Transform to be more like Christ.
That's really good, really good. So just one more question for you. What might be a song recently that has really, really grabbed you and helped you love God even more? What's been a good song that's just really grabbed you?
So recently, this past Friday, I heard this song called If All I Had Was Christ. It's by We the Kingdom. And I really like it. The chorus is, my life is in his hands. He is my confidence. He keeps his promises forever and amen.
Cool. Thanks for sharing with us. Really good. Thank you, Gabby. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. So take a look, watch this, and let it inspire your heart toward God's kind of love. Take a look. Let's stand to our feet. I invite you to stand. We're going to sing out together. And I want to urge you this week, maybe even before you leave this room today, to pull up a chair, come to the table, and taste and see how good he is. Make some personal aims and goals. How will you enter into the good life he has for you in 21? Get even more tangible, more specific about that. And then think and dream, even in what Gabby shared with us. Think about how you will stretch to be all in this year. Let's sing out together.